personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Leib.
I am corona-free, Lauren. Corona-free. Did you see our vaccine trials came out? Killer, 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 killer. I hope I didn't get the placebo.
Then you wouldn't be corona-free.
So this is the Leibcast. Happy Sunday. Thanks for joining us. We have actually a special segment we're going to do today. We're going to run the entire show on one topic because, wow, New York State came out, the Senate, the New York State Senate came out with a 97-page report this week on housing discrimination in New York State. It came out, it focuses on Long Island, and we're broadcasting in Long Island, even though we have our podcast nationwide. Actually, people in other countries have been talking about our Novavax stuff. We've been tweeting and talking to them, friends everywhere. But this new New York State housing report is groundbreaking, and it's something that we need to discuss. And if you are someone that lives in Illinois, you should be conscious of it too. If you're someone who lives in Indiana, this matters to you too. If you're in somewhere like Los Angeles, you should care. And I'll tell you why. Housing discrimination is a problem everywhere. So to back up, about what was it, Lauren, like a year ago, maybe a little more, the Newsday, which is a local newspaper in Long Island, my Long Island people know that, obviously, Newsday, making news every day. And this Newsday, you know, we used to teach our continuing ed class in Newsday's headquarters. For how many years was that?
Probably a good 8 years.
It was great. But then they sold their headquarters. And so we had to build our own studio. We have our own little training center, which has been a real drag, I have to tell you, for this pandemic of having an empty training center. We'll get to that in a second. We'll talk about that too. But so Newsday ran a report called Long Island Divided. And why don't you tell everyone what that was all about?
Well, there were testers that went into real estate brokerage offices. I think it was 3 years. And they found that there was a lot of bias going on with the real estate agents talking to the potential buyers, showing them certain properties and not others, steering them to certain areas and not others. And they found a very, very big issue.
When we talk about bias, though, it wasn't overt. It wasn't like, no black man, you can't live here. No brown person, you can't live here. It wasn't like, no Asian girl, you can't live here. It wasn't obnoxious, overt, like we would see in the movies. And it was hard to pick up on. And Lauren used a key word. She used the word testers. And what they did is they used actors, Lauren, actors. And they went and they had people of different races and ethnicities. And they had these people meet with the brokers, and what they found is people were just treated differently. Like, it wasn't an overt... It was subtle. It wasn't obnoxious. It wasn't loud. It wasn't... In fact, it's unclear if any of the people individually would have known they were being discriminated against. That was what was so interesting.
It's also interesting that the people that were accidentally or unknowingly discriminating didn't even realize they were discriminating. And that was the big issue of why the Senate just came together and they're really trying to change the way that housing and discrimination is going to be working. It's going to be a huge change in how we're going to see the whole industry.
And you're all going to need to be aware of it. Like, even if you're not a broker, brokerage companies. If you are an owner of a brokerage company, you're a broker at the brokerage company, meaning like there's the real estate broker who's in charge of the place, then they have associate real estate brokers and real estate salespersons under them. If you're a management, if you own stock in one of these companies, like they're publicly traded companies, a lot of these, you need to be listening to this program right now, and you need to be checking out the Senate report. And even if you're not in New York State, you got to be checking out the Senate report because it's jaw-dropping. They have 11 new pieces of legislation they're advancing in this report. 11 new pieces of legislation. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into all of this. We're going to talk about it. But I just want to give a shout-out to my man Chuck Schumer right now. I think that's important. I think it's important. And you might be going, well, I don't like Chuck Schumer. I want Mitch. Like, you all are like, the second I say someone's name, you should see what you all do to me. Like, the feedback I get when I say someone, you're like, you get so angry without me even saying what it is. But I got news for you. Republicans in New York are going to like Chuck Schumer today. I'm telling you, Republicans in New Jersey are going to like Chuck Schumer today.
People are thinking, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm telling you, Republicans in Connecticut, any expensive state, particularly the Northeast, you're going to like Chuck Schumer today. Because Chuck Schumer is proposing to get rid of the salt problems that Trump created for all of us, that state and local tax where you couldn't write off what you paid already for your state real estate taxes and your federal returns. And we were getting destroyed. So Trump rolled out this tax relief, which probably would have been amazing for me. I don't know about the rest of you, but I would have done great with this. Like Trump man was hooking me up. I was loving the Trump for a second there. And then this fool had to take away my state and local tax breaks. Like, come on, man. And he killed me, the Trump. And like his tax thing, yeah, it might have been helpful if you were making big money in a state like Iowa, where your real property taxes were, I'm guessing,
$3,400 a year.
Oh, you think it was 30? I think in Iowa, they just pay in corn.
Potatoes.
Yeah, that's probably right. Idaho potatoes. I said Iowa, though. Nah,
oh,
see,
same you, difference.
No, it's not. They're different. One's corn, one's potatoes. You got to know what you're eating in these states. So anyway.
They both have cows.
Something like that. That's what we say. And if you're from Idaho or Iowa, yes, we are making fun of you right now. So, well, I wasn't sure. They're from there. They're inbred.
I don't know our listener base, and I don't see many from those two states.
So you don't think we're going to get like a death threat after this thing?
No, they're busy eating their potatoes.
It's probable. I hope so. I hope that Q Shannon guy doesn't come get me, like the guy with the horns. Like, did you see that guy? He broke in. Like, just think about this. No matter how much you hate your government, no matter how much you believe an election was rigged, no matter how much you think it's a good idea to go break into a Capitol, who has time to get that getup on?
Not Halloween.
Like, he had to go to hair and makeup. Did you see what's going on with this guy? The face paint, the thing? Like, I don't have time in the day. I have enough trouble shaving, and I don't even shave my own face. I have a beard. And just shaving my beard line, when I'm doing that, I need a shot of espresso just to get going. This guy had face paint on. He had horns going out. And where do you get this stuff? Like, when I go for Halloween for our little kids, it's a drag to find a costume. Like this guy.
Well, they have the pop-up stores. You know what? They don't have pop-up stores in January.
I'm thinking Party City should make him their spokesman. Don't you think that would be great? In Halloween, like dress the Q Shannon way. So anyway. We just want to comment because, you know, the Leapcast always talks to you about how current events are impacting real estate and business. And today's show, again, we're going to be focusing on this discrimination issue because it's bold. 97 pages of information that you all need to know. But it's important to say that Schumer did something great for anyone, Republican, Democrat, that lives in the Northeast, because this state and local tax thing has been killing us. It's been really killing us. And so I think that's an important thing that we all need to address, that you get rid of the salt issue. My Novavax comes through. Lauren, what were the percentages on Novavax?
It's really exciting. So if you listened to our show last week, we talked about how Andrew and I joined this Novavax vaccine trial, and it's going on right now in the U.S., and it just finished in the U.K., and early results just came out, and there's some mixed reviews here, but I looked at the data in my rabbit hole research, and if you look at it, it says it's 96% effective against the original coronavirus.
You hear that, Moderna people? You hear that, Pfizer people?
96.
And did you know that I've been calling it BioNTech, the people that did it with Pfizer? Is that what it is?
Biogen.
I don't think I'm saying it right. I heard it on, I was doing, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you can say to your, okay, Google, I don't know, do you have a okay, Google? We have okay, Googles. I'm not into the Alexa. I got okay, Google. So I go in the gym every morning and I say to okay, Google, while I'm in the gym, we have a gym in our house. And I say to the Google, tell me the news. BioNTech. That's how you say it. BioNTech. I've been calling it BioNTech. And it's just spelled differently, but it's BioNTech. Isn't that a cool
name? That's what Google's telling you.
Well, Google's very smart. Google knows everything.
So just to let everybody know, we have a 20-month-old son, and his first words when he was about 9 months was, okay. His second word was Google. By 11 months, he was saying, okay, Google.
It's not true. He said it more like, okay, Google. He okay, said it like okay, the deepest voice. Like, he has this sweet little, like, he says all sorts of words, and he normally is squeaky like a little kid. But when he says, okay, Google, he gets in this, like, man, tough, like, okay, Google. And Google listens to him. Like, it's kind of crazy. Like,
hi, how can I help you?
It's really nuts. You want to hear something nuts about Google? I am obnoxious. I don't know if you know that. If you don't know
I can't help myself.
I actually just tweeted
and
to the three senators that wrote this discrimination report on housing, because I invited them on the show, and for some idiotic reason, they don't want to talk to Long Island about a Senate report on housing discrimination in Long Island.
Well, they don't not want to talk. They just never responded.
Well, one of them did. But that's not even the point. So I'm obnoxious, right? So I told Google the other day, I said to Google, thank you for listening to me and not my wife. I said that. We were both giving Google different things. And Google goes, you're welcome. I'm happy to help you with that. It was amazing.
Google's getting smarter.
Google is brilliant. Google is my man.
Now, and if only Google could make this vaccine rollout make sense.
I just wonder, though, Lauren, this is interesting. Do you think that if Google gets the woman voice, she becomes more like female friendly? And when she has the man voice, mm-hmm. she's more man friendly? Like, she took my side. We let
there
Google.
There might be some discrimination in that.
Do you remember the magic eight ball, and you would shake the magic eight ball to get your answers? Mm-hmm. Lauren and I let Google make all our decisions in life. Like,
Google can't have implicit bias. That would be a total bummer.
So when you talk about implicit bias, just going back to the report, and you said something important, I just want to make sure everyone understands what you're saying, is that the brokers that were in this report, the real estate salespersons, you said that they didn't even know they were discriminating. And that's true. Like, I represent some of the people that were in this thing, and I can't say who and what and why because we have attorney-client privilege. But I will say to you, when you tell them, they go, what? I didn't mean that. And Lauren's point about implicit bias is exactly the issue. Implicit bias means, and we did a whole segment on this, we had a professor come on and tell us all about this, but implicit bias means, what do you innately, from your childhood, your experiences, what do you know subconsciously, what are your beliefs and how does that impact your actions? Not what are your overt discriminatory practices. So this report really said, the Newsday report, and then we're going to go into the that's why we're going to give you the entire show on this, tell you about the Senate report. But what it said was that people treated people differently. And how'd they do it? If I'm a whitey and you're a whitey and you say to me, I want to live in West Hampton. And you said to me, hey, Andrew, I want to live in West Hampton. And I said, what's your budget? I'm the broker in this little story time. And you'd say, my budget's $1 million. That's what Lauren says to me, right, Laura?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A million.
So she says
actually,
it to me.
999. I don't want that tax.
So anyway. She's talking about the mansion tax that applies after the $1 million. Outside of New York City, it's 1%. In New York City, it escalates up as you go higher. We don't need to go into that right now. But anyway, back to Lauren. So she says $1 million, and there's no inventory. There's no inventory.
Nothing.
So I say to myself, I'm going to show her places in Remsenburg. That's next to West Hampton. I'm going to show her West Hampton Beach. That's next to West Hampton. I'm going to show Quagg. I show all these other whitey-type towns. And she says, great. And I steer her there and I say, that's the way to go. But then another gal comes to me, a black gal. And she says to me, I want West Hampton. Same conversation. She says, I want the 9999 just like Lauren did. And I say, there's no inventory. But instead of just taking her to Remsenburg and West Hampton Beach and Quagg and Quagg, I expand for her to other communities like Bellport, and I expand to other communities for her like Riverhead, and I expand for other communities to her that have more diverse populations because I think that's better for her. Now, I don't say anything differently to these two different gals. I just treat them differently. That's what this report is saying. This report is saying an example, and this is so important, that someone comes to me. She's sparkling in diamonds. Nice diamonds, Lauren. You know, Lauren's three favorite things are deeds, diamonds, and dollars. She's shaking her head. No, but that's the three D's of life. So here we go.
My real favorite is deeds, but...
Deeds, diamond. If they saw your diamonds, they would disagree. So she's sparkling. She comes over and she goes, I want that 999 house. And I say, she look rich. She's driving this nice Audi. No biggie. I show her the house. No biggie. She likes it. Another gal comes in. Samantha looks a little darker than Lauren. That's what I say, a little darker. And Samantha is a little older, and she's driving a jalopy, and she's got no diamonds. And she says, I want West Hampton. I say, Samantha, I need a pre-approval if I'm going to show you that place, a pre-approval on a mortgage. Proof of funds or pre-approval. Now, from Samantha's perspective, that sounds normalized. From Lauren's perspective, that sounds normalized. But because I treated them differently, because I judged both of them, because I have implicit biases because of my own upbringing and judging and stereotyping, my gut. Because I do things like that, it's discriminatory. You see, your gut can fail you. Why does your gut fail you? What goes into your gut? That's really kind of the whole point. Your implicit biases go into your gut. There's really two types of worldviews. I was partners with my father for a long time, David Lieb. We were partners as lawyers. In my family, everyone's a lawyer. My great-grandfather was a lawyer. His brother was a lawyer. Like, this is just a thing. Like, when I was getting my master's in public health, I got a free master's in public health. Like, they paid me. I got a check every 2 weeks to get a master's in public health. It was amazing. My father would call me up and he would say, why are you wasting my time? If you want to learn health, go to the freaking library. I want to retire. Everyone in my family's a lawyer. So when I finished my master's and I started working with my father, we had a lot of conflict. A lot of conflict. My father, David, and he listens to the show. He's retired now. He's a great guy. Don't misunderstand. I don't want you to take this the wrong way. We're just different. We would get in screaming fights. He tried to push me on the stairs once. Like, it was a to-do. We had a volatile partnership. It was not kosher.
He's like, so nice to everyone else.
He's an amazing guy. Just since we stopped being partners, I love the guy. Just when he was my partner, I wanted to wring his freaking neck. And I'm sure he felt the same way about me, but I'll tell you
David.
Why. I'm going to tell you why. It's because he believes in gut decision-making. I'm going to tell you why. He believes in gut decision making. He has a feeling, a belief. He knows he has experience. He uses that. And I believe in data. And those worldviews just don't go together. And I'm going to tell you why data's right, Dave.
And all the Daves out there.
Because your implicit biases cloud your gut beliefs and cause you to discriminate.
Now, they might not want to.
You might not even know you're doing it. Like, you go to a doctor and you say to yourself, it's an Asian doctor. Asians are smart. I'm going to feel good. I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm going to go see the doctor. Who doesn't want a nice Asian doctor? You just discriminated. Have you ever been to Asia? There's plenty of dumb people in Asia. I got news for you. Asia is a huge place. There's morons in Asia and brainiacs in Asia. Like, Asia's huge. Imagine for 1 second. I just want you to, you gut reaction people with your implicit biases when you met one Asian person in your childhood and they happened to get good grades, so now you think all Asians are smart. I have news for you. Let's just imagine that all Asians are brilliant. Go with me on this one. They all study. Their parents don't let them go out to have snacks until they've got A's on every test. That's the Asian way. Let's imagine that's what's going on here. Do you think the United States would stand a chance against any country in Asia? Like, they would be the best in everything. Like, if Asians were the best doctors, the best engineers, the best. Just because you're Asian doesn't make you better. It just makes you Asian. Like, this concept that we should implicitly stereotype people in our minds is the core flaw that they're trying to address in this Senate report. This is the major issue of our day. The fact that you hear that your attorney's Jewish doesn't make him a better attorney. Unless I'm the Jewish attorney, then that's a whole nother story altogether. But when you're going over this, the key is that what are they telling you in this report? One of the the bills and the report, one of the legislation, the pieces of I told you I'm going to get into 11 pieces of legislation. I've been telling my clients for years about this. No one listens to me. But I've been telling them for years what they're putting in the report that's required, Lauren. You're a landlord. Tenant comes in. You want to know where they got their money. You want to know how much money they got. You want to know about their family. You want to know about all these things. You want to feel them out. You want to feel if you feel comfortable with them. You want to feel if you can trust them. You got a buyer. You want to know if they got the money, if they're going to go through, if they're a coward, if they're going to make the deal. I want to meet them. I want to know about them. This one, I want to know this credit score. This one, I feel a little more comfortable. This one, I want a pre-approval. This one, I don't want a pre-approval. I'm using my gut. That's what I'm doing, like Dave, my partner, my father. I'm using my gut. I'm feeling it. I've been around the block. I know what's going on. I know. What it says in the Senate report, as I've been telling you, there's a case called Mancuso v. Douglas Elliman. And that case says that you have to have a pre-existing, owner-established, objective criteria before you have any qualification requirements of buyers and tenants. I'm going to break that down for you, but I want to say to you first, my man Doug Cabral, he's been on our show a bunch of times. Doug Cabral, you remember.
Sure.
And Doug launched his own podcast because, you know, after you've been with the Liebcast, you can go anywhere in life. That's, you know, we're the springboard for success. So Doug's been sending me this week, he launched his podcast. And I've been helping him out because, you know, what goes around comes around. It's nice to be nice. And I've been sending him texts on what I think he should do and ideas. And so he had his first podcast, and it was a great podcast. And really what it was saying, it was for salespeople because he's a salesperson. And it was saying that a prospect isn't a prospect just because they're in front of you. You have to qualify them. That's what the whole point was. Because why are you wasting your time on people that would never come to fruition? Just because someone says they want to look at a house for $1 million, if they can never qualify for a mortgage for $1 million and they don't have $1 million in cash, what's the point of talking to them? That was his spiel. And I said to him after, just like I'm telling you with this Mancuso v. Douglas Elliman, the new Senate report has a bill in it that says that brokerage firms, real estate brokerage firms, remember I told you that real estate brokerage firms, if you own it, if you manage it, if you have stock in it, need to listen to this. The bill that they proposed, and it didn't get passed yet, but mind you, the New York State Assembly and Senate and governor's office are all in the same party. So this is going to get passed. I'd bet my bippy this is going to get passed. You know what it says? I'm going to tell you what it says. It says that they have to have a policy with respect to all qualifications. It gives examples of the different types of qualifications that they're going to need to be able to qualify. It says prospect identification. If you're going to need like an ID card, who is the person? If you're going to need them to give you a license, you do know that the law kind of makes alienage and citizenship status discrimination where they can sue you. So you checking if they're a valid resident, bad move. But it has uniform rules as far as licensing. And why might you want to do that? Because you want to make sure that you know everyone that's going to an open house, whatever. It also has, if you're going to need an exclusive brokerage agreement, it also has pre-approvals. It tells you that you need objective data. Remember I said that word before?
It doesn't say you need a gut feeling.
It says if you don't have that, it seems to be discriminatory. So what I want you to do is, because my father, he smokes the cheroots my whole life, I want you to put that in your pipe and smoke it as they boot us for a break. We'll be right back. This is the Liebcast. Have you faced discrimination in housing, at work, or at any place of public accommodation? Call the aggressive lawyers at Liebet Law PC to learn your legal rights at 631-878-4455. That's Liebet Law, 308 West Main Street, Suite 100, Smithtown, New York, at 631-878-4455. Or visit us on the web at liebetlaw.com, L-I-E-B, liebetlaw.com. It's the Liebcast. We're back with you. It's Lauren and Andrew Lieb. We're doing a great great show for anyone in the real estate world. We started our show as Real Estate Investing with Andrew Lieb. And as the pandemic went on, we said we need to really change who we are. We've been telling you more about how we make our thoughts and what goes on in the writer's room and what's behind the scenes, because we got nothing to hide. Like, we live our life on our sleeve. Like, if you don't like us, okay. If you do like us, we like you. Like, we want to have some friends out there. We're, you know, I always find that it's much better to have friends every Sunday at noon when I'm on the radio than any other time. I'm going to tell you why, Laura. I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me why.
It's because I can't hear you. You can only hear me. No, just I think. Have you ever had a friend that just—
unilateral friendships.
Well, you know what it is? Is I have some friends that just, they dwell on the same thing for over and over and over, and you've had the same conversation for like 3 weeks, and
like
you're just like,
3 years.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You don't want to know what I'm dwelling on, though? Something a little gross. Did you see what Kraft Macaroni and Cheese is doing?
No.
Yeah, so there's gonna be the Valentine's Day, which is always weird because my 40th birthday is February 10th, and Valentine's Day is the same week. And so it's always like I lose my birthday celebration to Valentine's Day because it's all about my wife. You know, my brother made me say five times when I was getting married, he made me say five times that your wife is always right. Your wife is always right.
I'm always right.
She's always right.
I'm always right. I'm always right.
It's like, so anyway, Kraft is coming out with the grossest, most disgusting. I can't get this picture out of my mind. They are making candy-flavored pink macaroni and cheese.
Wrong. And I love mac and cheese. In fact, when I was in college, I used to buy this sprinkled macaroni and cheese, kind of like Parmesan cheese, but it was that Kraft macaroni and cheese, and I used to put it on broccoli, and anybody that knows me then, it was so gross. But I did it.
So there's a competition where you can win it. They're giving out 1,000 boxes. And normally I would tell you that you would go to candycraftmacandcheese.com and then there's a /, but I'm not even going to give you the rest of it. I'm not, because I'm going to spare you from the grossness of the picture when I saw this pink. Who was sitting there and crafting? I'm like, let's take the best creation for food ever and let's make it disgusting. Like, what's wrong with you people? So anyway, what I was saying a while ago, I just need to loop back, is that we started our show, when was it, March?
March 2020.
Yeah, and we started our show in March, and it was Real Estate Investing with Andrew Lieb. And for anyone that knows me, we own a real estate school with about 10,000 students. It's a New York State licensed real estate school. I'm a licensed real estate instructor, and Lauren's a school coordinator. I am too, but I don't like when they talk to me, so Lauren's in charge of that. So what I mean by that is—
I run the administration with the Department of State.
What I mean by that is that we have an online school, and they can't remember their passwords, so they email—
No one can.
It's amazing. And they can't remember their email either, and so we get those emails all day, every day. So we have this school, and we have countless amount of classes that we teach at the school for people's continuing ed. And we said to ourselves, hey, we own a law firm that does like 2 to 3 closings a day. We do representing real estate brokerage firms. We should do a show about real estate investing because investors in Long Island need to know this stuff. And that was our original thought from the show. And we were going to do that. And we started doing it. And we had this great, fun show that we were going to do. But we changed it. We changed it to the Liebcast because it couldn't be fun like during a pandemic. And the Liebcast is about real estate too. We still talk about it, but we expanded out from just real estate to all business because we actually also at our law firm do employment law. We do handbooks, policy manuals, litigation, compliance, you name it. We do sexual harassment training. So my big thing is I do discrimination law. That's what I am. People ask me what type of lawyer you are. I'm a discrimination attorney.
Actually, I need to interrupt for a second. So while you're talking about the implicit bias, the discrimination, Andrew this week was just nominated from the Long Island Business News for an award in diversity in business. So I just want to congratulate, and he won the award. It's going to be announced in March of 2021. And it's pretty exciting because you do really do a lot of work to make sure that people are aware that they know that they might be discriminating and you have to stop it.
So discrimination laws are big in two main fields. Well, there's three, but two main fields are employment and real estate. There's laws on it. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but there's laws about the Fair Housing Act. There's the Americans with Disabilities Act. So these are the fields that I work in the most, when whether it becomes real estate professionals or companies. Like, we represent a lot of companies too. So we expanded the show out, but we never want to forget our real estate people, because that's a main thrust of the show, is how can we tell you about what's going on in business, and how can we tell you about what's going on in real estate? And I would say to you that this new report from the Senate, and thank you, Lauren, for the accolades, this new report from the Senate is huge for both real estate and business, and actually the business of real estate. I think that's kind of like the biggest thing that we need to be talking about right now. And why do we need to be talking about it? Here's what it says in the report. I just want to read this. Would it surprise you to learn that in 2019, there were 28,880 reported complaints of housing discrimination in the USA. Again, 28,000 complaints. I think that's a mind-blowing statistic. 28,000 complaints. And this report was about two main topics, racial and ethnicity discrimination. And they're very important topics. So I want to go into that. But I mentioned Leap School, and I want to tell you about the school. At the school where we do the continuing ed for brokers, I just finished a new course, and it's about disability discrimination. It's called Disability Discrimination in the Real Estate Broker. We're going to finalize it. We're going to submit it. It's got to go through licensing to Association of Real Estate Licensed Law Officials, and it has to go to licensing to Department of State. It takes a while to get these things approved. But why do I bring that up? I think race discrimination is terrible, awful. I think ethnicity discrimination is terrible, awful. But make no mistake, disability discrimination is the biggest field of discrimination. 26% of the country has some sort of disability. 26%.
For those people who can't do math, if there's four people in a room, one of those people.
Don't you just want to punch her in the face? I would punch her in the face right about now. I think that's kind of important. But anyway, so they did this report, and this report explained why we got to where we are right now. And I think that this might be mind-blowing to you. Do you want to hear something crazy? I'm gonna read you something crazy. In 1927, the precursor to NAR, the National Association of Realtors, they had this sample zoning rule. This is what it says in the report. Just think about this for a second. The restriction that no part of said premises shall in any manner be used or occupied directly or indirectly by any Negro or Negroes, provided that this restriction shall not prevent the occupation during the period of their employment of janitors or chauffeurs' quarters in the basement or in a barn or garage in the rear, or of servants' quarters for Negro janitors, chauffeurs, or house servants, respectively actually employed as such for service in and about the premises by the rightful owner or occupants of said premises. That was a sample covenant. I just want to tell you.
So it said you have to discriminate.
It was a sample covenant that was in people's property. It was in their deeds. That was a sample covenant that was suggested by the realtor, the precursor to the Realtor Association. And I want you to know, by 1948, 85% of all new residential developments in the United States were racially restricted. Why do you think that happened? 85% of all new residential developments in the United States were racially restricted in 1948. And so you say to yourself, back to our conversation about express bias or implicit bias. Express bias meaning I'm saying something awful. Implicit bias meaning I don't even know I'm doing it. Why do you think that someone like my father, when we were partners, his gut reaction's dangerous? Because this is his childhood, if you think about it. In 1948, that's what the laws were on all the houses. This is where he grew up. This is his worldview. This is his experience. It's not that he's a bad person, and he's not a racist person at all. But when you use your gut, and your gut is filled, I want to read you something. From 1934 to 1962, less than 2% of the $120 billion in housing financing underwritten by the government went to minority homebuyers.
Less than 2%?
Less than 2%, Lauren. I got more for you. I want to tell you a little more about this. I think that this is important. I don't know if you know. NAR's policy for members. This was their policy. A realtor should never be instrumental in introducing into a neighborhood a character of property or occupancy, members of any race or nationality, or individuals whose presence will clearly be detrimental to property values in that neighborhood.
So don't bring anybody that doesn't look like somebody here because it will be detrimental to the property value.
This is what people grew up in. This is their worldview. It's not that they're bad people.
This was normal.
It was normal, but it wasn't normal like was normal in the 1800s. It was normal less than 100 years ago. It was normal less than 100 years ago. And guess what? It's still normal. Why is it still normal? You know, I'm going to read you something now. Approximately 3 out of every 4 black students and 2 out of every 3 Hispanic students attend a majority-minority segregated school district today. There's 124 school districts in Long Island. I don't know if you know that. There's 124 different school districts. I didn't know that. But there's 124 different school districts in Long Island. And what we find is there's a black Long Island, a brown Long Island, and a white Long Island. They're different Long Islands. We are one of the most segregated places in America. Did you know? No, seriously. Long Island has become more racially diverse, but it remains one of the 10 most racially segregated metropolitan areas in, guess where, the nation.
That's really embarrassing. It's like we have this island of self-segregating ghettos, and then the real estate brokers are implicitly, accidentally steering the potential buyers to these communities, and so far.
And she used the word accidentally, and that's really the key when it comes to discrimination. I got interviewed for that Long Island business news thing that I won that you mentioned. I appreciate you saying it. And they said to me, when I was getting interviewed, I did this Zoom interview, Lauren, that they're going to do in the presentation and what's going to happen. And they said to me, how can we get people to get more diverse and inclusive? That was one of the questions. I'm paraphrasing. And I said to them, I'd love to say because it's better for business. And it is better for business. If you have more different types of people in your workforce, you'll have more creative ideas that target more people with better products and better services. But here's what I said. Check out how much they're getting sued for. 99% of Fortune 500 companies have been sued for discrimination. 99.
I'd like to know that 1%.
Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, he's a famous Supreme Court justice, like the U.S. Supreme Court. Here's what he said. There's very little truth in the old refrain that one cannot legislate equality. Laws not only provide concrete benefits, they can even change the hearts of men, some men, anyhow, for good or evil. What he's saying is, when we slap you hard enough, you'll learn to change. When we slap you hard enough, you will learn to change. And I think that a big part of these new recommendations, there's 11 new pieces of statutes. I'm just going to give you some of them right now, here, just so you can be on the time. They're going to slap you harder. Right now, when a real estate broker gets a violation from the Department of State, a salesperson, a real estate broker, there's a way you can go online and you can make a complaint against a broker. A lot of people think you got to go to LIBOR, Long Island Board of Realtors. A lot of people think that you could go to REBNY and the City Real Estate Board of New York or wherever your local board of realtors, a NAR, National Association of Realtors Organization. Let's be clear. That's a club. They can find people. They can do things, but they don't control the license. If you go to the Department of State, the Department of State can revoke a license, suspend a license, but they had a maximum fine per violation. And the maximum fine was $1,000. They just suggested moving it to $2,000. So doubling the fine. That's a starting place. I think that's a pretty important starting place. What else did they do? They said, hey, when people make discrimination complaints. We're going to say now that they can get punitive damages and consequential damages, that's punishment damages, and the amount that someone lost. They went further. They said, we have a big problem. Here's the big problem. There's these 12 real estate brokerage firms that control over 50% of the market in Long Island. I don't know if you know that. 12.
That, I mean, all you have to do is drive through Main Street and you'll see all 12 of those.
There's a 12 big ones. And they said that what happens is when you had a huge company, and I represent some of these. I'm not knocking them. I'm just telling you what was said. How does one person manage 400 people, 1,000 people, 1,500 people, whatever it is? How does one real estate broker, the person with a license who's charged under the law with supervising their whole team, how do they manage that? I have enough trouble managing my team, and we're a small law firm. Like, I don't have thousands of people. How do you manage that amount of people? And they said, well, the way they manage it is that they have people called associate real estate brokers as office managers, kind of like a tiered corporate structure. So what'd they say? Right now, only the broker is responsible when an agent violates as a supervisor. They said, now we're going to make the managers, the office managers, become responsible too. And you're not just going to be able to manage a place if you're a manager. You're going to need two more years of experience. That's a big thing.
You can't just put anybody in there that doesn't have that experience. So some people that aren't in the real estate brokerage industry, when you say broker, it could be one person that's in charge of all of Long Island for a company. Even though you might see 50 offices throughout Long Island, only one person in the past has been responsible for all of the people that work there or that are affiliated with some sort of an agency. So it is a big difference because the people that work at each store or each office locally, they should now be accountable for the people that work for them.
So I think the biggest thing, though, was if you're not familiar, there's 6 fair housing groups in New York State. These are like nonprofits that help people that get discriminated against. And it's important that these groups exist because they do testing, like Lauren explained before with the actors. They sue to help people that are getting discriminated against. They get the word out. They educate. They do a lot of important things. There's 6. The report says, just to give you an illustration, there's one called the Fair Housing Justice Center and has a contract with New York City for $20,000. That's their contract. Do source of income testing. And then it said in the report, comparable fair housing organizations in LA, Los Angeles, get $900,000. I just want to give you the distinction. And they said, so a big issue we have is how are we going to fund all this stuff? Interesting stuff, right? So here's what they said. They're recommending increasing the registration requirement that real estate brokers and salespersons have to pay every 2 years to keep their license between $10 and $30. And they say, you take all that money and you put it into enforcement and testing. And then you increase the fines from $1,000 to $2,000 and you take that margin and you put it back into testing, what do you think you're going to end up with? There's going to be enforcement everywhere. So I just want to run down the major things that are going on. They want policies for brokers. They want more training for brokers. They're increasing to become a brokerage license. They're increasing to get a salesperson's license. They're increasing continuing ed. They're increasing training, and they want the trainers to have responsibility. But I started off the program by telling you all that I invited the 3 senators who wrote the report to be on the show, and they didn't want to come. And I'm going to tell you what I was going to ask them, because maybe someone could give me an answer one of these days, because I still don't understand why this is not being answered, because they want the trainers, and I told you I own a school, and I'm one of the trainers. They want the trainers to have to sign a sworn statement about how they do things and that they're doing it the right way and blah, 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 which I'm all for. Great. In the report, they spent pages going over these trainers and what they did terrible and how they don't know how to train. I wasn't in the report. I know what I'm doing. And they were talking about fair housing experts and stuff like that. And here's my question. Why not just enforce the law you got, guys? What do I mean by that? It says in the law, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the exact thing in front of me, but it says legal topics must be taught by attorneys. That's what it says. Legal topics must be taught by attorneys. It says that in the statutes for real estate brokerage. Nonetheless, salespersons and brokers are teaching discrimination. I don't know if anyone else figured out what the word legal topic means, but legal topic means something in the law. We're talking about the Fair Housing Act. You know what an act is? An act is a law. We're talking about the New York State Human Rights Law. That's the last word of the statute. Law. So I suggest to you that the main issue is that we have unqualified instructors teaching discrimination. And when I'm teaching, do you know what everyone does the entire time? And it hasn't happened since the pandemic. But they raise their hand and goes, but, that's not what I learned from so-and-so. But, that's not what I learned from so-and-so. Or that, my favorite, they like to say this. We were taught. That's their statement. We were taught. Well, you were taught by a moron. That's what I respond by. So at the end of the day, we actually have at our school, in our in-person school, we do most of our trainings online because of the pandemic. But we have on our in-person school the coolest system ever. If you haven't been to Leib School's training center in Smithtown, you got to go here. We have these remote controls that we give to the entire audience. And we can live survey the room anonymously and put graphs on the board of what people think about different topics. And I live survey the room while we're doing it all the time. And the amount of nonsense that people believe is true, they think you have to intend to discriminate to discriminate. Unintentional discrimination is still discrimination. It all comes down to this word implicit bias. And how do you change implicit bias, Lauren? How do you change what someone's core belief is when they don't think they're doing anything wrong? If you said to my father when you were partners, outside of discrimination, I went to business school. This is how you do it. I actually can show you the primary source of how to do this calculation in managerial accounting. He would say back to me, I've been doing it for 40 years. I'm right. That was our dispute the whole time. How do you change someone's ingrained belief of being correct? And so what this report suggests, and I think this might be the most important part of the whole thing, is four main topics that need to be taught. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're not in real estate brokerage, you operate a deli, you should pay attention. If you operate a clothing store, you should pay attention. If you operate a finance company, pay attention. I'll tell you why. All places of public accommodation are subject to discrimination laws for disabilities. Everyone, wherever you go, if I come in and I have a service animal, you better know how to deal with me. Otherwise, I'm going to sue you and put you out of business. That's how it goes when you deal with the Leib. Anyway, they're suggesting four topics, and I agree with these four topics, and I think this was the heart of the report, and I wanted to tell the senators, I'm telling you now, listen to me. You may not get all the 11 bills passed, I hope you do, because I think that we need to make the world understand that together we can thrive, and divided we can fall. I understand that diversity is about having different people all together, working together, where we have inclusion, where everyone feels welcome, and equality, where everyone has the equal access to succeed, fail, or succeed on their own. Because that's the American dream. But the only way to get there is to teach people about this legacy of segregation, unequal treatment, and historic lack of opportunity in housing. Unless we understand where we came from, no one appreciates how we need to change. If you don't tell my father what he grew up with, how does he know what his implicit bias is? You need to teach about unequal access to amenities and resources on the basis of all different protected classes, how it's not the same for everyone. Your plot is not my plot. I always say to our son, you do you. Because he doesn't need to be me. He needs to be Spencer. They should teach the laws, and that's the third one, because if you don't know the law, by an instructor that knows the legal topic, what's the point? And lastly, anti-bias training. Understand that your innate actions can also hurt someone. You see, the Leibcast, they asked me when I won that award about diversity in the workforce, they asked me, what am I doing to create a more diverse and inclusive environment for Long Island? I'm telling you to listen to the Leapcast. We're here to get your back. We're here to make Long Island the best it can ever be. We are the Leapcast. Have a great week.
Find us on social media at Listen to Leap or visit listentoleap.com.